Hi, everyone. It's Judy. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. Today, we're back with Jerry Partita. Jerry's back to tell us about wrap plating and via filling and what are the benefits, requirements, and drawbacks of this technology and what you need to know about designing these. And he'll talk about how this technology actually drives costs. So you're going to learn a lot from Jerry today. So lean in and enjoy. I'll see you on the other side.
Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media.
Well, hi, Jerry. It's good to see you again.
Hi, Judy. Thank you for having us back.
Thanks. I miss having you here on site, but thanks for taking the time to join us from Summit Interconnect in Anaheim. It's a good-looking sign you have back there.
Yes, it's our new improved building and facility, so we finished it about 2 months ago.
That's cool. Well, before we get started, why don't you... You're no stranger to On Track, but for those who may have not heard your past podcast, why don't you just give a brief introduction and your background and what you do there at Summit?
My name is Jerry Partita. I'm with Summit Interconnect Anaheim. I'm the Director of Engineering. I've been in the printed circuit board industry for 35 years now and was an application engineer for CAM and plotters and AOI systems, and eventually worked in the board shops for the last two decades.
And live to tell about it.
Yes.
Well, I want to ask you a quirky question. Last time you were with us, I asked you about your hobbies. But this time I wanted to ask you, what kind of, as you look back, say, to your childhood, what kind of indicators, looking back, do you see that you might have ended up in some kind of engineering profession?
You know what? This is NASA. When I was growing up, NASA was in the middle of the Apollo program, and I would sit there and just stare at an on-hold for 3 hours glued to the TV and the whole technology and what our country was doing, and I was 4, 5, 6 years old, just mesmerized by all that, and that really put me on the path.
I don't think you're alone there, by the way, and... I was the same way, except I think I'm a little older than you. And I remember in elementary school them rolling an AV card in with the television so we could watch launches or splashdowns or whatever live in the classroom and just being completely mesmerized by that. So I'm right there with you. What was really cool for us recently, Jerry, is that Lee Ritchie came into the studio to record some things here, and out of his bag he pulls a little janky looking circuit board, and he said, yeah, I designed this for the Apollo 11. Some of these are up on the moon still. And I'm like, what? Let me see that thing. So we kind of geeked out internally because of the same thing you're talking about. So it's pretty neat. All right, so we kind of teed this up the last time we talked. We want to talk today about wrap plating and vias and pads, all kinds of stuff that I think that designers need to know about as they're thinking about DFM and different things they can do, right, to enhance their designs, but make sure they design it correctly for you, for the manufacturing side of things. So... can you kick things off by sort of talking about wrap plating? Give us a definition and then jump into what some of the benefits are.
Wrap plating requires that whenever we have a blind via or epoxy-filled hole, that the copper, the first copper in the hole, goes in the hole and wraps onto the top surface of the circuit board.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was originally when people were doing blind vias or epoxy filled, there was no requirement. So we would just plate the entire barrel of copper, and then we'd planarize. We'd get a dot of plating higher than the surface, which would get in the way of imaging, and we'd planarize it back to a smooth surface, and then we would plate on top of it, creating a butt joint. So literally, the barrel was not part of the copper that would plate over it, and during assembly, with the expansion of the material, it would cause a separation. As people would heat up the board during operation or during assembly, there would be separation or intermittent opens. So that's wrap plating, would wrap copper onto the surface. So the starting copper here and the final plating over here would lock in this plating in the barrel and keep it safe as it expanded and contracted during assembly. So why would people want to epoxy fill or do blind vias?
Yeah.
So most of it is, as we got into higher density, we are able to have a surface mount land and put the via inside of the surface mount land and save real estate rather than having a surface mount land, a trace, and then a via that went down from there. So it saved real estate. Second reason for doing this was it, as the speeds of high-speed digital and RF signals got higher and faster, the delay time between coming up a via from a bypass capacitor from the capacitor to the trace to the via to stabilize the voltage in a component, it was too long. You're 750 megabits. You're starting to run into problems of the delay time. You needed more immediate. So folks, to solve this problem, would put the via in a BGA component, and then on the bottom side of the board, the lands for the bypass capacitors would go directly across power and ground, and the via would be right in the lands on the bottom side of the board to give it the fastest response time.
I see.
That was one reason. The other one was in blind and buried vias. Whether you put in a component or not, you're going to have wrap plating because we image the inside. Let's say this is a top layer and this is a blind via inside. We're going to do the pattern on the inside, but the top layer has to be a sheet of copper, a continuous sheet of copper during the sublamination. And that is going to be a button plate, which is planarized, epoxy filled and planarized. And so that's when the wrap plating needs to be there so that the final copper protects it from the expansion contraction of the barrel. So back in around 2000, people were building boards with no wrap plating. And then as they got to assembly, sometimes they would fail.
Mm-hmm.
As we went to lead-free temperatures and the amount of expansion as we increased the reflow temperature, these became apparently too weak. And a rule came down in about 2002, I believe, the IPC made an amendment to require that if you do any planarization or a blind via or epoxy field via, the copper must go in the surface and wrap onto the top a minimum distance, 1 mil, all around the via, and a certain thickness on top of the surface.
Okay.
And so this is where it makes it more difficult to manufacture the circuit board. We have a starting copper, and then we're putting wrap plating, making the copper even thicker.
Mm-hmm.
And as we make features, our ability to etch two traces in the space between them is based on how thick the copper is. The thicker it is, the more space we need. Because as we etch the copper, it reduces the traces on both sides. And so we make them bigger to finish at the right size. But if you have two traces too close, and you added more copper, we got to make them bigger. All of a sudden, we're shorting out. So as we get to higher densities, there are finer lines in space. And so it becomes more difficult to do the wrap plating and still do fine features. So that's kind of it in a nutshell of the requirement is it's got to wrap the surface 1 mil away from the hole, but we do the entire layer. We don't control it that well. And even when we plate on the surface, we have variations on the corners of the panel in the center, and we don't go to the minimum of IPC. We overshoot because we can't violate the minimum. Any violation of minimum, the whole panel goes into the trash.
Okay. So as you're mentioning the IPC specification, do you know off top of your head which IPC spec that is? So in case our listeners want to look into those?
So there's two parts to this that's required, and I'm going to fire up my computer again and wake it up. One of them is the performance standards will specify what the end result has to be. That's IPC 6012 for rigid boards, 6013 for flex or rigid flex, 6018 for RF. The document about BIA protection is IPC 4761, titled Design Guide for Protection of Printed Board BIA Structures.
Which, by the way, that was the spec that we talked about in our last podcast. So I'll share that in the show notes in case some of our listeners missed that one. I also want to pause for just a second to point out to our listeners that we are recording this on video as well as audio. So if you have the chance to go over to Altium's YouTube channel, you can watch this. And the reason why I say that is because Jerry and I like to talk with our hands, both of us. And I think later on, Jerry's going to show some things that we'll try to get photos of. But anyways, just wanted to insert that before we got too far down this rabbit hole. Okay, so thanks for the specs on that. So, you know, we're talking about wrap plating, and I noticed in the notes that you and I shared, you know, they used to talk about, and I'm going to talk with my hands now, about wrap plating being the knee, right? Which gives you sort of that mental picture of what that is. Why is the terminology around that changed, or are these two different things?
So there is copper at the knee of the hole. What they found to be reliable is originally class two was 2/10 wrap plating at the knee of the hole. It had to be that thick and at least 1 mil away from the hole, and half a mil or 0.472 mils. And sorry for the metric folks, but we in America use mils for thousands of an inch. So 0.472 mils at the knee of the hole for class three. And now here's how it gets weird. That amount of knee on the hole on 6012 changed recently, that it's now 2/10 minimum wrap at the knee of the hole, or minimum wrap for and 1 mil away from the hole for class two and three, if the document is after January 1st, 2018. If your document is before that, or revisions before that, or the initial releases before that, then it's back to the 0.472 for IPC 6012. IPC 6018, which is RF performance, it was always 2/10. It never changed.
Okay.
Came in, it's always been that way. The rigid flex IPC 6013 still has class 3 at 0.472 and class 2 at 0.0002 or 2.2 mils for wrap thickness. And the thicker that wrap is, the harder it is for us to etch. So we always like the lower one. Studies have shown that as long as you have some wrap, it's reliable. And many customers have built class three boards, for you out there that wonder, any class three boards out there have wrap at 2/10 and had it for years, and they're fine. But you have to have the wrap visible in a cross section. There's one other thing that recent to do via MPAT and wrap plating is folks like to do vias underneath the component to conduct heat away, and they don't want the solder to go down the hole, or they don't want an open via in which solder can come down a hole next to a BGA pad. So by plating, epoxy fill, and plating over, you eliminate the chance that the solder can go down a via next to a BGA pad. So that's another reason why people do that.
Okay. Let's talk about, you mentioned some of the requirements. So the continuous copper around the knee onto surface, the cap plating. What did you mean? What do you mean by no butt joints?
So in the old days, we would just plate wrap plating. There's two stages to the plating that takes place. One is we take the panel, we drill just the epoxy filled holes, or in the case of a blind via, the blind via holes. And we plate for wrap, so it's on the surface a certain buildup, right, from the starting copper. Mm-hmm. And for in most cases, we're targeting 2/10 of a mil minimum, so we target 4/10. We always overshoot. And to give you an idea, if you guys can see my hair, it is exactly 2 mils thick, which means we're targeting something between 1/10 to 2/10 of my hair width. That's what we're dealing with. So we overshoot the wrap plating. We do a full panel plate, which means we're plating copper across the entire surface and some in the hole. and that gives us enough wrap plating, the minimum requirement. Then we stop, and then we cover everything on the outer layer panel except for the hole, just an opening just slightly bigger than the drilled hole we did originally.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to plate till we get the minimum required copper in the hole per the procurement document. Class two, class three, if you want more, you say more. Once we've achieved the amount of copper in the hole, then we strip the resist off. We strip it through our processing lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then we epoxy fill those holes with this epoxy.
Okay, here's where the fun YouTube comes in.
Literally this thick. Now, if we're not using an ice cream stick and little cups like this to fill the holes. We have specialized machines to fill it, but this gives you an idea of what we're filling. And if your hole is too small or the aspect ratio is too great, we may have difficulties in filling it. So talk to your manufacturer for the optimum drill size, and there's requirements for epoxy filling. The requirement is 60% for IPC class 3. If you don't, then you're in violation. You have to epoxy fill the top and bottom so that you don't have a dimple beyond a certain depth, about 2 mils. And then you can actually have protrusions when you're done. If you don't want that, you have to specify that. If you have a blind via job, you must specify they are to be filled and plated over. If your procurement document does not state that they're supposed to be filled, and you have a VN pad and you have a giant hole in there, if you didn't state it, those boards are yours, because you must state in your procurement document these blind vias are to be epoxy filled and plated over with copper. And there's a requirement of how much copper goes over the epoxy filled hole as well.
Which is really important to our audience to get that in their notes, because you will have problems later. Could end up in scrapped boards and building them all over again on your
right.
dime. So
there's a lot of things we have to monitor. We have to make sure that we've had adequate amount of wrap plating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I showed you the epoxy that fills it. Later on, we cure it, and then we got to planarize the smeared epoxy across the entire surface, as well as the plated bump. Again, we're trying to target something 1/10 of this hair width. And then we have to verify it again. So we have a hand tool to measure copper. It's about this big.
Oh.
And it costs about $3,500. And it measures accurately the copper. So you go around all the panels and all the locations to make sure you have the right amount of copper. And then you go cross-section it to make sure that you have the right amount. Again, we're trying to hit something 1/10 of my hair width.
That's crazy. So what is this tool? I'm not familiar with this tool.
It's, do you want to pause? I can go grab it and show you real quick.
Okay, we're going to pause. Hang on a sec. Okay, let's see it.
This is a $3,500 tool.
Wow.
And you have to use this tool to verify after you planarize that you found the lowest location, and then you have to verify in cross-section to make sure that you are safe. So a board shop, to be successful in doing wrap plating, has to build in a verification process. These take time. When you add wrap plate or epoxy fill into a job, there are 8 major manufacturing steps you've just added. A very basic printed circuit board has about 26 or 28 manufacturing steps. You just added about a fourth. And it takes, in the quickest term board shop, 24 hours.
Well, and that's a good thing to insert here, because people often want to know, why is it more expensive? It doesn't seem like such a big deal, but it really is.
Right, because you have to do all these verification processes. You have to control your plating precisely. You have to planarize precisely. And you got to validate all the way through. And if you have a dimple, then you go back and rework them. And then you do all this whole process all over again. And not everybody can do it. Not everybody can do it consistently. And so you have to make sure your manufacturer has very good controls. And they must validate, and they show this in cross sections for every cycle that you have epoxy filled to validate that you got enough copper in the hole, that you mm-hmm. filled it adequately, mm-hmm. and that you have the wrap plating per your procurement documents.
And sometimes, this, I'm sure this isn't true of Summit, but if it's not a pretty major size, you know, good size fabricator, then a lot of times you have to go outside, get an outside service to do, say, planarization or
right.
whatever.
Or for the filling.
Or for the filling.
Some services that do that filling as well, exactly.
So that also adds time because there's
right.
transportation between facilities and who knows what that outside source's load is that week, so on and so forth. So that's another thing that can add time. So I would suggest to our listeners to try, if that's something you're going to use a lot, to find out that your fabricator has that in-house.
If they have the services in-house or not.
Yeah. And that also, if they have it in-house, chances are they do more of it and they're good at it.
Yes.
So anyways.
It's a very acquired skill.
It
the
is.
Other thing too yeah. about wrap plating, if you have a board with, let's say you have a blind via from 1 to 8,
mm-hmm.
and then it's a 16-layer board, and then you epoxy fill vias from 1 to 16. The wrap plating and the buildup of copper happens twice.
Exactly.
Once for the 1 to 8 and once to the 1 to 16. And mm-hmm. so if you start off at 1/2 ounce copper and you wanted the old class 3 half a mil, you would actually put another 1/2 ounce of copper on top of it. You always overshoot. So now it's 1 ounce copper base for the 1 to 8. Then when you do the 1 to 16, you do wrap again and you add another 1/2 ounce of copper minimum. So now at the end, instead of etching through 1/2 ounce, you're etching through 1.5 ounces of copper. And the thicker the copper, the more space we need in the design. So just note that if you have designs with multiple wraps, it makes it more and more difficult to plate. And then the copper gets higher overall. We have some customers that will have blind vias 3 times on the same layer.
Mm-hmm.
Layer one will have, let's say, a 1 to 4, a 1 to 8, a 1 to 12, and a final. So now we have 4 wrap cycles building up the copper up to 2 mils, 2.5 mils of thickness. And then it becomes very difficult to etch. And there's variation every time you plate the wrap. You might have overplayed a little bit more. You might be a little under. So your variation kills you, because when you go through the etching, you're going to etch for the thickest place ever on any one of the panels.
And it makes the features kind of not that clean, right?
Yeah. So what happens, especially with the RF customers, with that mm-hmm. many wrap cycles, you get more of a foot, a very curvy foot. And mm-hmm. RF guys, that variation can really ruin your
performance.
You were calculating one
yep.
thing, you got a whole different skin effect.
Yep.
So, yeah. So trying to maintain or limit the amount of wrap cycles, creates greater consistency in your RF performance on an outer layer.
Yeah, have seen that. So going on with the some of the drawbacks, so cost, we've talked about additional time, we've talked about, talk about the peel strength a little bit.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So little backing up, when we laminate a copper foil, an outer layer piece of copper foil to prepreg, just normally laminating, the peel strength is typically about 6 pounds per square inch peel strength. You got a lot of strength, no problem. When we drill a hole, we still have that peel strength, it's fine. But when we epoxy fill a hole, we epoxy fill it, we cure it, we sand it, we now have a smooth surface where the epoxy fill is at. And then we deposit electroless copper, which is a chemical process of just depositing over the epoxy fill. So we have a barrel that's plated, we have copper foil on the outer layer, but in the center, we have the super smooth, planarized, polished, if you will, epoxy.
Yeah.
Electroless deposit on it. It's not digging in, it's just on the surface. So the peel strength where the epoxy fill is at, maybe 2 pounds per square inch, so it's weaker. So if you do excessive rework, heating up, and you pull on that thing, I have seen in the past where the center pad peeled off. So you must be very careful when you're reworking, when you have VM pad, because the peel strength of the epoxy is lower than the rest of the pad itself. They land on the outer layer.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like plating on glass or something, a very smooth,
yeah.
It's always trade-offs, isn't it, Jerry? Oh my gosh. It's like,
yes.
You get
there's
this,
trade-offs because
but then this is not good.
You get better performance by VNPAD. You get greater routing density on the outer layer. The inner layers are still the same. The ability to put components, if you're on a 1 millimeter or 0.8 millimeter pitch device and you bring the vias for power and ground, and you can put a component on the bottom side, it's great. You can just center, but you got to fill the holes in order for that surface mount not to have lose the pace of the bypass capacitor on the bottom side of the board. It's very common to do that. And then also for heat sinks, if the device in the center is just to heat, to draw heat away, if you have holes, it'll pull all the solder down through the board, and they don't want that, so they'll put epoxy-filled vias. And so we'll get boards that they have those maybe four holes in the whole board, and they want to epoxy fill them. And they go, well, how much does it cost to do four or all of them? It's the same cost. Because when you look at a board, if you have 10,000 vias, we're drilling 10,000 holes. It doesn't matter if we drill 9,996 and then these four holes, it's still 10,000. Or we drill all 10,000 and epoxy fill all 10,000 vias, it's still 10,000 holes.
Right.
Process of wrap plating, dot plating, epoxy filling, curing, sanding, verification, it's still the same process step, no matter if it's one hole or all 10,000. So once you've made the decision to do epoxy fill, the cost is in the process. And if it's possible, if you have multiple vias, just move them all into epoxy fill if you like. It's not going to cost you any different.
Yeah, you got to go through those steps, like you said, whether it's one or 1,000. So, yeah.
And then the acceptability. You can have a depression in the in epoxy-filled via. Mm-hmm. You can have a little bit of a protrusion. So if that affects your assembly, you might want to make sure that's okay. If you have a dimple in an epoxy-filled via that's not a solderable end, that's acceptable. So you can get some people, well, that's not – I've got a dimple here. It goes, yeah, but you're not soldering to that. So that's an acceptable condition. And so we use the customer's paste layer when we go, hey, this one's not filled. They went, they're not soldering to it. It's acceptable in that condition. So that's one thing to be aware of. The other thing was the older version for cap plating. It never said it had to be only the outer layer. And so there would be boards rejected because they didn't plate over the epoxy fill internally on the board, which no one was assembling inside the board. So they said only external layers have to be cap plated. So it was like, okay, now they can't. Literally, I've had boards rejected for that.
That's kind of silly.
Did we cover?
I think we got it.
There's one thing that didn't cover.
Okay.
Which is thermal vias. If you want to conduct heat from one side of the board to the opposite side of the board, and everybody goes, ah, conductive epoxy. That's what I want. It'll conduct more heat. Barely. So the thermal conductivity of these conductive pastes are like 16 or 32 compared to copper, which I think is, and I probably got this wrong, I think it's 436. And so they go, well, I can conduct more heat if I put CB100, which is terrible because it expands and breaks vias at lead-free temperatures. And there's other ones called Tatsuda, which is a very good material, but still only conducts at 32 versus copper, which is extremely high. So I always tell the customers, forget using that, because as thick as this is, the metal thermal conductive, which doesn't conduct very much, is much thicker than this, and it's harder to get in the hole. So what I tell customers, if you want to conduct heat, just ask us to plate 2 mils of copper in the hole. If you calculate how much copper, how much conductivity 2 mils of copper in a hole is, mm-hmm. It exceeds anything that you could epoxy fill that's thermally conductive. Only
thing
is,
that's a good tip.
Just make the hole a little bigger because we're putting more copper in a hole, and we want to have a hole big enough that the paste pushes all the way through. So that's one nice solution. It gives you excellent thermal conductivity. Once I tell a customer, try it this way and calculate, they come back, oh yeah, we're going to do the 2 mils of copper in a hole. And they're able to conduct enough heat.
That's a good tip.
Generally, we'll ask you, you probably want to drill a little bigger than the smaller via size because we're putting more copper in the hole, and we still have to epoxy fill it.
Right. Yeah, for those that aren't watching this on YouTube, that paste, that non-conductive epoxy is like somewhere between Elmer's glue and thick paste. It's like in between. So it has some substance. To get through tiny little holes is not that easy.
Right, and we have very specialized machines to push the mask. They actually will close chamber and pull the vacuum down. It's not a pure vacuum, but it'll lower the atmosphere so that it has a better ability to push without air resistance. We heat it up to help it flow a little bit better. There's a lot of things we can do, but there are limits on the aspect ratio, how much copper we're putting in the hole, and still get paste to meet the IPC requirements.
Well, this has been a deep but very cool, thorough treatment of wrap plating. So thanks so much, Jerry. This has been great. And hopefully our listeners, you guys enjoyed learning this and really think about this when you design. There's a lot of moving pieces. I'll be sure to share, Jerry, if you have slide decks that illustrate any of this or photos or anything where it kind of illustrates what you're talking about, we'd be happy to share it in the show notes along with Summit's website as well. So,
All right, I'll get it to you.
all right, thanks,
Thank you
Jerry.
for allowing us to share so the designers can have an opportunity to be successful the first time in the build and ask questions on what's the best and safest approach. So as the designs come into the fabricators, that we take your data and we process it through, we tool it, we plan it, and put it out on the floor with the least amount of delays.
Amen to that, brother. Okay, well, Jerry, thanks again. And to our listeners, thanks so much for joining us again on the On Track podcast. Make sure you go visit us on YouTube or like, subscribe, or send us comments so we can know what you'd like to learn more about. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.